If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
We say things that don't mean anything, but thanks for listening.
Hello everyone, and welcome to We Say Things episode 171. Suns fan here with Sinner. This episode is brought to you by our friends at Manscaped. It's never too early to play holiday music, and it's never too early to start thinking about gifts, whether it's for a friend or the friends in your pants. You can make this a season to be jolly with Manscaped. Do your little drummer boy a favor and use the Lawnmower 4.0 to avoid another silent night in the bedroom. Then add in Manscaped's top-of-the-line shower products to have the people thinking, all I want for Christmas is you. Santa cares about his sack, and so should you. Look nice when you get naughty by going to manscaped.com and use the code WESAYTHINGS for free shipping and 20% off. That was a good one. Good job, Manscaped.
Whoever writes these is actually doing a really good job. It gets a laugh out of me every time. I don't know. This one, there's a lot of good puns in there. Maybe it's Lacoste.
You know what else will get a laugh out of you? If you don't shave your pubes or at least trim them to some degree. And of course, Manscaped can help with that. And not only that, they have a variety of other products like body wash and shampoo and chapstick even. They got a lot of shit, man. You guys could go to their site. Of course, the We Say Things promo code will get you 20% off and free shipping. It supports us. It supports them. Thank you. Thank you. Moving on, we have our patron shout-outs for the week. Go ahead, Sindarin.
All right. We have Stupid Copilot, Coming Soon, Persian Tongue Twisters. That sounds fun. D2 Bowie, Yatoro does it again, Sindarin. A Scorpy, I miss other esports conversations that this podcast would talk about, like Valorant, Fortnite, Shroud, Mixer, not an ad. It also can't be an ad for Mixer, because Mixer doesn't exist anymore. What is the meaning of life? Answer me, please. Oscar Magdev Seeker. Roundy 3, my grandma still doesn't know what Dota is. Why don't you teach her to play? Disco Farm D, I'm once again asking you to say my name. Simple Stooge, Silly Stooge, Salacious Stooge, Sadistic Stooge, Saving Stooge, Sen... Yeah. Stooge, you gotta change your name now. the Mega Pope. All right, Aegis out. It's your time, Shannon. Commit to buying the best NA team called Arkosh. Take them to second, TI in New Zealand. And Zan Xavier.
Thank you also to Nate Thicko0 and Hamscroats, Bacon, Shark TM, Freshly Seasoned Goat Balls, Janie, Dop, Nothing to See Here, Underscore Man. I can't believe you didn't ask the meaning of Evermort. I guess Seb needs to come back now. What about that Ben Broomhead guy? He always has a cool patron names. What an aftertaste, Anonymous. In November 2022, Malta hosted the Blood Bowl European Championship. The tournament was won by Denmark, Mr. Niebling.
Blood Bowl.
You should know this as a Dane, obviously.
A miniatures board game as a parody of American football. Oh, that's why I don't know about it.
Because it's physical activity?
It's a 7 out of 10 on Steam as a video game.
I see.
Blood Bowl. Huh.
Okay, let's get started with the episode. I have a bit of an intro, a couple things I wanted to talk about before we get to the Dota news, Sindarin. First is a long-awaited Suns Fan Reviews Steam Deck.
Okay.
So I got some comments after I posted a picture that I purchased the Steam Deck, that after I talk shit about it being 60 hertz, why would you buy it? Etc. Etc.
That sounds like you.
So, in my defense, we were at TI, and I got like 7 Crimson Witnesses, and I was not aware. I guess that's not normally a thing, but I wasn't aware until at the event that you could use Steam Bucks to buy a Steam Deck. So it was literally free. That's the way I look at it, because I don't give a shit about like having Crimson Witness like cosmetics, unless it's for a hero that I really want, even then really wouldn't care that much.
And you buy nothing else on Steam.
That's true. Yeah, I don't buy anything else on Steam. So right. I got this. It came in the mail within a few days. I have to say, it's better than I thought, Sindarin. It's definitely right. better than I thought. It's
And what you thought was a 5 out of 10, if I remember correctly.
This is like a, for me, probably a 7.5 out of 10. For a normal person that plays normal games, probably like a 9 out of 10. It's actually quite good. So I would say for its size, it is relatively light, actually. I was expecting this to be like really heavy, but it doesn't feel too heavy at all to me. I think the control system is really well made. The screen has good response, I think, for like touchscreen stuff. The 120 hertz thing is noticeable in certain games, but other ones, it's not. And the games that you're going to be playing on this, I don't think you'll notice. So like Hades, I've been playing Vampire
on it.
I'll get to that. Hades, Vampire Survivors is the main one I've been playing. Very good game, by the way, would recommend. And those are perfect for something like this.
Vampire Survivors.
You haven't played Vampire Survivors, really? Okay, this is a Suns fan recommends Vampire Survivors as well. I just started playing it
a couple weeks
ago.
It's the literal 10 out of 10 on Steam.
It's,
I don't think I've seen that.
No, it's extremely good.
7,415 reviews, rating 10 out of 10.
Have you not seen people playing this game? I don't understand.
I think I saw Asmongold play it on stream shortly. Quite a long time ago.
It's very popular, yeah. It's been popular for a while. So this is kind of old news.
Early access. It came out less than a month ago.
No.
Is this the game he was playing?
This game did not come out a month ago. It's been like a year, at least.
It says release date, October 20, 2022.
Well, I think it was in early release or whatever for a long time.
Yeah, so it was early access, and this is the official. Okay.
Anyway, back to the point. This isn't supposed to be about Vampire Survivors, but you should play that. I wouldn't put it on the same level as Hades. Hades has like awesome fucking depth and cool story, all that stuff. This one is more brain dead, but it's still really fun. Anyway, perfect game for the Steam Deck. Dota is unplayable, of course. You're not buying this to play Dota. I will say though, Ability Arena is playable though.
That makes sense.
I would say there's certain aspects of the UI that we could tweak, and I think I want to do that in the future, but I gotta check with Valve to see if it's possible to detect if somebody's using a Steam Deck, then we can provide them like slightly different UI, because like re-rolling a hero is a little bit difficult. I would say using like the thumb pads or whatever is not ideal for the game. Literally, it's just touchscreen. It was very playable on touchscreen, and I had no problem with that other than like a couple small buttons here and there, but generally very playable.
Nice.
And I was thinking, what is the real reason that Valve made this? I don't know if we mentioned this because we were talking about it at TI, but I don't think we mentioned this way back when. The main reason you create the Steam Deck if you're Valve is not to make money from the Steam Deck, because we see that with like Xbox and PlayStation and all that. They lose money on each hardware that they sell. They make it up on their games, right? Which for Steam, it's a little weird because they have Steam. With Valve, it's a little weird because they have Steam. And yeah, you theoretically would be buying games, but it's not like you're buying exclusives or anything like that necessarily, right? And a lot of it, you can share games in your library already, so you're not necessarily buying more games. But I think the big thing is entering markets that maybe they didn't have a foothold on before, like SEA or certain areas where like LAN cafes are still popular. People don't own personal computers. They don't have room in their houses for personal computers. Something like this literally would replace that.
But do people buy a Steam Deck in SEA if they don't have a PC?
I don't know. I'm just saying, to me,
I feel entering, like they play on their phones then.
Entering markets, well, yeah, but you can't play PC games on your phone. Unless it's PUBG or something, but that's different, right? Anyway, the point is, I can see the angle now from Valve. I think this is considered a success for sure.
The Someone in chat says you can't buy it in SEA.
Okay, well, just shut your mouth. So eventually you'll be able to buy an SEA and then it'll make sense. The 120 hertz screen thing is something that I wish I can understand why they wouldn't have it as part of the normal version of this. Because most people wouldn't care, I guess. And obviously, like, the hardware can't really support doing 120 FPS for a lot of games. Like, so that makes sense. And obviously the battery life is not particularly great right now. It lasts a few hours, so that would make it worse. But my argument for having it is because they had an old technology, which you can still use, called Steam Link, which is now just built into Steam, where if I'm in my house and I can use my computer to do all the processing and it streams to my Steam Deck, so it's not using any power at all. I would love for the 120 hertz screen to be able to transfer that, because that would make things way more enjoyable for me. And I think having like a primo version of this, which this is there's two versions. This is the more expensive one. There's one even on top of that I would have gotten if it was 120 hertz. I mean, that's like a really big deal for me, obviously. But yeah, overall, pleasantly surprised, Sindarin. It's quite good.
How much longer does the battery last if you process it on the PC?
I have not really tried too much.
It's got to be a big difference, right?
Yeah, I would imagine. I think one downside of this that I haven't liked so far is obviously you can do anything on it because it's a PC and it's using technically Linux. But I would love to be able to just open Steam and then open Twitch, right? Right now, you have to open Chrome. Like, it's a bit of a hat. You could use the browser version. I would love to be able to like use specific apps. Like, even in Windows, you can have Android apps now. And I would love for something like that to be applied for things like Twitch, because I would use that all the time just to watch Twitch.
Right.
Now, you can technically do it, obviously. It's just a little ghetto, in my opinion. But overall, for me, this is a 7.5. I think if you're in the market, if you play games that this would work on, it would be like a 9 out of 10, honestly. It's actually really good. So I take back a lot of what I said. I admit when I'm wrong. This is actually quite a good product. It's not the Index, which was fucking garbage.
And it's really genuine feedback, because you didn't get it for free even though you asked.
That's right.
So you didn't have to do this.
That's
right. Just like with the Index that you bought and think is shit. So, yep. All right.
That's right.
You miss some.
Index, I spend $1,000 plus the upgrades to the PC to be able to actually run it. And I don't use it anymore. So
now you have a good PC, though.
That's right. Actually, it's broken. That's another story entirely. Okay, another section before we get into Dota, because there's not that much with Dota anyway. And this is more interesting. Let's be real. I have two movies to review or recommend. The first movie is on Roku, which is going to be hard for some people to know. I may have gotten it by other means, Sindarin. No comment.
Okay.
The movie is called Weird, the Al Yankovic, or I call him Yankovich, but the Yankovich story. Awesome movie. I love Weird Al. I've always loved Weird Al. I think he's hilarious.
It's Daniel Radcliffe playing him, right?
Yes, and he...
I seem to remember that.
I'll talk about him in a moment, but the movie was hilarious. It's like my kind of humor. It was really funny. And if you guys like Weird, I don't know if people would like it or they don't like Weird Al, but I thought it was I thought it was really good. Daniel Radcliffe, it's funny because I love Harry Potter. I did not think he made a good Harry Potter, actually. I'm probably in the minority thinking that. I thought he was a weird choice. Everything else he's been in, I've liked him in. I think he's a really good actor, which makes me think that maybe, and actually Nikki was telling me this, that they told him to act that way for Harry Potter, to make him very vanilla. So it wasn't his acting that was bad. It's just that the character is bland, you know?
Right. That is definitely something that can be said about Harry Potter's characters. Very flat for the most part.
Harry Potter specifically is supposed to be like this neutral kind of guy for the most part, right? But I think he's actually an incredible actor. I was so wrong about him. But yeah, that's a good movie. And then second movie, Sindarin, this was something that people told us about ahead of time that it was coming out. It's a movie called The Banshees of Inisherin. I saw this in the theater, first time I've been in the theater
in
forever.
Somebody misspelling my nickname.
Yeah, it's a weird name. It is kind of like the spiritual successor to In Bruges. So I should have looked this
up. Episode 200.
I should have looked this up. Fuck. Who's the director? Is it the same director or is it the same producer? Let's see. I should have done this beforehand. In Bruges. It's not actually the sequel, obviously.
But it's the two same main
Martin
actors.
Martin McDonagh. Yeah, it's the same two main actors and same director. Okay, thank you, Chet. I watched it in the theaters yesterday, Sindarin. Not as good as In Bruges, okay? Because that it's hard to...
Okay.
It's extremely good, though. Dark humor. Hilarious. Very dark.
Mm-hmm.
I will say... And I mean, depends on where you're from, I guess. It was a little hard to understand certain accents. I probably did not pick up on legit 30% or more of the dialogue. But what I did pick up was fucking amazing. And I can't wait for when this comes out to like with Blu-ray subtitles. Or whatever and actually watch it again with subtitles. This is definitely a movie I will watch again. Extremely well done. But I would not say that generally everybody will like this movie. I think In Bruges, generally, most people would like. This one is a little more niche. But if you liked In Bruges, there's a very good chance you will like this movie. I thought it was extremely well done.
I just have this mental image right now of a bunch of Americans sitting in the cinema watching this movie, and there's subtitles on an English movie.
I don't mind.
In the cinema. I mean, yeah, it's just funny, but yeah. I mean, if you're missing out on that much of it, you should probably have subtitles on in the movies as well.
I started using subtitles for every movie like 15 years ago, and it's amazing. Yeah. Like, you would not... It's not like I have bad hearing or anything, but you would be surprised how much dialogue you miss generally.
Mm.
And I think that is what made me appreciate dialogue even more in movies is actually using subtitles. So I would recommend that as well. Another like quadruple whammy Suns fan recommends subtitles, Steam Deck, Banshees of Inisherin, Weird Al Yankovic story, and of course, Vampire Survivors. That's five.
Stan, hear me out for a second. What if the reason you're missing out on 30% of the dialogue is because you never train yourself in hearing dialogue because you autopilot with subtitles every time you watch anything? Hmm?
But then that would have been true at the beginning, or wouldn't have been true at the beginning, right?
Yeah, but maybe you were missing 10% back then.
It's hard to put a percentage on it, Sindarin, but...
Yeah.
Anyway.
Whatever it is, you're just wrong for no reason.
Yeah.
All right,
Banshees of Inisherin, whatever the fuck the name is, watch it. Hilarious.
Oh, that's a really good point in chat, actually. I have to highlight this one from Spidota, too. He says, subtitles helps when you eat snacks. I think that's the killer argument, is that you can eat while you watch, because otherwise your crunching noises will be too loud and you can't hear what people are saying.
How loud do you have to be?
That's fair.
To not hear because somebody's eating.
I mean, if you like full force, just hardcore eat pork rind while you're watching, then you might not be able to hear things.
All right, on to Dota.
Or prawn crackers.
On to Dota.
Yep.
Not a whole lot. We got some roster shuffles, e.g., we talked about the rumor, I think, last time. They have officially released their NA roster, and it's going to be the South American version now. I guess what we want to talk about more than anything is, I guess it's kind of segmented into two. They made a video. I actually forgot to watch it. I think they made another video today, like a shitty highlight. But originally, they came out with a video with the CEO just kind of saying... It's just like a long monologue kind of thing. Like, we appreciate the players. And then halfway through, she switches to we're excited for South America. People did not take this very kindly. Did not react well. People like Alex Garfield, the guy who founded EG, was not happy. Players didn't really say anything. But
just to clarify, the guy who founded EG is no longer with EG. EG was sold a few years back, if you're not in the loop on that. So it wasn't like the actual CEO that was like, the video we made sucked publicly. It's the old owner.
So I think because of the flak,
legacy.
They released a highlight video, a very quick highlight video, and I heard that it didn't have any TI5 highlights, which is hilarious. But if you're going to make it in less than a day, then maybe you're going to miss stuff.
I mean, if you're making a TI Finals highlight, or rather, if you're making a highlight video that is related to the last roster you had, none of those played at TI5, right? None of their players?
Yeah.
So that wouldn't fit, but like, where's the legacy video? You literally are the NA team of 10 years of Dota. You stop supporting Dota in NA. and you don't make any sort of tribute video about it, it's just weird. Like, I don't really get it. There's other things with EG, right? So we talked about this many, 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 many episodes ago. This is years ago at this point, right? But you take over this org, and this org has this extremely powerful branding and legacy, and you just run it into the ground immediately. You get rid of Bleed Blue. You get rid of one of the most iconic logos in esports to make one that's arguably, you know, it's subjective. We can discuss whether it's prettier or not. You make the name Live Evil, which is, you know, I so get bad. That it's like a, I get that it's like the same word backwards, and you can make it look cool on graphics and whatnot. If this was can a new you? Org,
I haven't seen that.
If this was a new org, I mean, then fine, right? If you're starting over, and that's what they are trying to do, I just have to say, I don't get it. Like, sure, you have new ownership coming in, but why do you shoot yourself in the foot like that?
There's a reason. There's a reason for that.
Okay.
Do you want another reason?
Yeah.
I don't know the CEO. I have nothing against her. I don't know any insight. I'm just saying, generally, this happened with Digital Chaos as well, by the way. Not that we had the same legacy as EG. Somebody comes in, takes over. This happens in traditional sports to some degree. It's not as extreme because there would be a bigger outcry. And they want to change the color. They want to make it feel like their team. So it's a more narcissistic viewpoint. That's the reason for doing it. But I agree. If you have a legacy that EG does, that's kind of ridiculous that you would want
can't
to do
you,
that.
Can't you make it your team by running it your way instead of...
Yes, but that's not... It's not as...
Removing everything the team is about.
You're looking at it logically when this is not a logical decision.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that's me in a nutshell, right? So,
but
yeah, I got to say that's pretty disappointing. I don't know how the players feel, but this is kind of round two, right? I remember there are, especially I just read about it recently as well, when they laid off their StarCraft division, they also weren't given a good send off.
I heard a lot of bad things about that back then.
The general communication between organization and players does not sound like it has been good in general. So, sorry if you're hearing the dog bark right now.
Poor Onion.
I think there's a parcel at the door, actually. But Susie is home, though, so she'd probably get it.
That's great to hear. That's the EG stuff. Fly was on stream earlier today, or yesterday, technically, talking about what the roster situation is, because there's a lot of rumors about people switching teams, switching regions. Is there going to be an NA team? I believe the things that he verified were that they would be NA still. I assume that they're looking for an org. There would be changes to the roster, but it sounds like a good number of them, if not a majority, would be staying.
Do you want to speculate here?
I already know this, so I can't speculate.
Okay, well, I could speculate I don't know.
Yes.
But if I speculate, maybe your face is going to give it away, so maybe I'm not going to do that.
Here, I'll do this. Go ahead, Cinderin.
All right, so my speculation is that Arteezy, Fly, Crit, and Bulba stay together. Abed goes to SEA, and Nightfall goes back to Eastern Europe, and then they get two other players. That's my working guess for now for what EG or XEG will do next season.
Interesting.
And then they are probably, if they want to stay in NA, I mean, whether they have an org on lock or not is a question, but... You know, TSM said they're getting, they talked to their team about the future. I'm assuming that they're keeping at least some of their players, so it's probably not going to be TSM, which opens up the question of who EG's X roster will now be working with. That's the most interesting thing in all of this for me is another org going to step up to the plate and try to be big in Dota and NA? Because these are literally the best entry you have is getting these players. It's the most proven team you could possibly get. And they're free from their contracts. They're not free, but yeah. So
I will say, okay, that's fine. Okay. I want to go back slightly and try to look at it from the perspective of EG, the org, why they would drop these players. I don't think it's about trying to win TI. I think it's about cost.
Yeah.
North America... And again, I fucking ran a team in North America, so I kind of know, is not a profitable region, generally, unless your players are doing a lot of streaming. It's like Arteezy, if he was streaming a lot, then there'd be no excuse not to keep that roster. But he wasn't. I don't know what the rules, like or what was in his contract or whatever, but
Grit tried his hardest to save them, but it wasn't enough.
But NA Dota is not profitable, so doing South America, and I know how much they were getting paid, by the way, for I don't know how many years now. Like, I don't know how you afford that team. It's actually ridiculous. Like, collectively, how much I have no clue how they're making money. So it makes sense on that level why they would try to do right. South America. Like, I don't think they officially said anything, but I assume they're staying in South America. That otherwise it wouldn't make any sense, right? So it will be a South American org for Dota.
Well, there is the possibility of having the South American team, but having the players boot camp and play in NA. Because then the costs are significantly lower. First of all, because you don't need to pay the players as much salary because the expenses in SA are way lower. And if you want to compete in the NA region, then you can have, by the usual rules, the players just need to play out of the region when they are... How is it works again? Shit, they've changed this a couple of times.
Either
Maybe
way,
they would have to live there.
I'll just stop you there because I don't think that's happening. Fly on Stream okay. said that even though it's not guaranteed, he says he's very confident that he will have the DPC slot for himself. So he's in control. If that's the case, then that means EG's...
Right, but they could still earn the DPC slot by playing in NA.
But why wouldn't they just keep the slot then for themselves?
But you just said EG... Fly keeps the slot, so that means...
Yeah, I assume...
Either EG as an org have two options. Either they keep an SA slot and play an SA, or... They want an SA roster, but it's important to EG to play out of NA, and then they will qualify and earn a slot in
NA. Remind me
Those
here.
Are the two options.
The person that owns the slot, isn't that the org now and not a player? Isn't that correct?
But didn't you say Fly was keeping the slot?
Well,
or did you say EG was?
Okay, let me rephrase. He said he didn't guarantee it. The way he made it sound, it sounded like that he had negotiated with EG that they would give him the slot, and it's probably a done deal, but it's not 100% yet, technically.
Okay. That makes it sound definitely a lot more
that's,
like it's
That's
essay,
the way that I interpreted it. I could be wrong. Right. I don't know.
Okay.
In other news, T1 has disbanded. Not a huge surprise. I guess it's a surprise that they're not trying to build around Thompson again, because this was kind of like a last-minute addition with him and Anna, right? So.
Yeah, it's kind of a... When I saw this announcement, I was like, did you guys forget your fifth player? But Thompson was never technically in T1. He was a stand-in that they used for TI. He was still officially with OG, I believe. So on their thank you post to their roster, there's four players.
Wait, who are they? They said Thompson in the post, but he's not in the picture.
Exactly. So they say, thanks, Thompson, for playing with us, but they don't... He's not, like, officially part of the thank you picture.
I see.
Make up that what you will. He was with them at TI, and that was it, right?
Yeah.
Anna was officially signed, I believe. So, aside from that technical difference, I think Thompson wants to play in EU. I'm pretty sure he has made that clear, if I'm not mistaken. So, if that's the case, you know, there's a couple of potential interesting openings if you want to speculate there. One that comes to mind is obviously Matu leaving Liquid because he said he's retiring. We'll see if that lasts. He has to go to military service and then maybe he gets the itch in there because he's like, you know, misses playing. And then when that's over, he might come back. I don't know how long the mandatory military service is in Finland, though. It might be a full year. It might be 2 years even. I don't know. But he has delayed that for many years as long as he could. Then there is, aside from Liquid, there's Secret that there could be roster changes in. I don't think that's happening, but they got second at TI. It was a great result, but that hasn't stopped teams in the past from replacing players. I don't know who else would be appealing for Thompson to play for in Europe than those two teams. And Liquid is obviously the number one working theory. For most people, because it's a pretty good fit. Mickey has played both carry and mid, and Thompson would be, in terms of like play style, I think he's the kind of player that those guys would want to play with, because Liquid's games have always been a little bit crazy, a little bit wacky, late game chaos, and he thrives in that, right? So we'll see. That's my best guess, is that he goes there.
And I don't think any dates for DPC locking like roster locks have been announced, right? I'm pretty sure. I don't remember.
I haven't really kept track of that very much since it was relevant for me, to be honest.
Yeah, so we're just kind of in
I've
limbo.
I've seen it posted.
Yeah. So, yeah, well,
I think that we're just off season right now, I believe.
Yeah. Usually the off season has a date.
Yeah, I know. but weird. This time around, the next DPC is way later than last season, right?
Yeah.
Because we're condensing it. So if I'm not mistaken, the next DPC doesn't actually start until 2023. Maybe that's incorrect. Let me check.
No, that sounds right. I think it was January, and then Major was...
No, so Open qualifiers December 11th, but the qualifiers happen this year, but the divisional leagues start in January. Division 1 starts January 9th.
Okay.
So... Yep.
All right. Next thing on the list is the collector's cash vote, Cinderin.
Oh, are we going to look over some sets?
No. Well, kind of. You're going to have to turn on the stream. I picked out...
I have it on. All right.
I picked out my favorite sets. So
okay.
There's some I didn't like that I did not even bother taking a picture of, which we can kind of discuss without showing.
So when you say your favorites, do you mean the ones you like or the ones you think give the funniest reaction?
The ones that I like the most.
Okay.
And it's a very select few. There were about 10 Marcy sets, most of them completely inappropriate. I don't know how you feel about that. I'm sure you hated it. Really ridiculous fucking sets.
I think out of the Marcy sets, like one, maybe two were okay to good. That's my...
All right, what are your thoughts on this one? So this is an Alchemist set, which turns the Ogre into a Minotaur, or his head at least, and... The Alchemist himself has like kind of Roman armor. It's got a purple gold theme going on. Fucking love this one. This looks like the Minotaur boss from Hades.
I like the idea, but I think the color scheme is really messed up. Like, I know you want the Minotaur.
It's really messed up.
I know you want the Minotaur head to pop out, right, and stand out, and it does clearly. But it looks... Do you know what I mean when I say it looks like it's taped on? Because it's like it's such a rough difference in like color and everything. It looks like a mask that the Alchemist has on. The Ogre has on.
Interesting.
Does that make sense to you?
What you're saying...
Because a lot of the other sets that change the hero significantly, it looks more natural on the hero. This looks like... Because it's a yellow body, and then it's just wearing this like black mask. That's what it looks like to me.
These are Laker color, so I should hate it, but I actually like it quite a bit.
Oh, that's true, actually.
No wonder you hate it so much. I've brainwashed you.
Oh, it's the Chicago Bulls plus the Lakers combo. Fantastic. My favorite NBA set ever.
That's pretty good, actually.
This one, okay. I'm not going to rate that one. I'm just going to say yay or nay. That's a nay from me.
Okay. Ricky. Right. He's wearing a... What kind of mask is this? It's like a wolf-looking mask, kind of.
Yeah, or satyr.
It's got...
But he is a satyr, right?
Yes. He's got a nice red dagger. The reason I picked this is... And I think his tail is pretty nice, but doesn't really show here.
Mm-hmm.
The reason I picked this is because Ricky sets in general, I think, are hard to make. Hard to make noticeable as well. And I think... Like, most of this... I think the tail, like I said, doesn't show here, looks really good. And then the headpiece, specifically, the mask, looks really nice.
I like this one a lot. I think this one's great.
Okay.
And it looks, again, like I just said, with the... This is one that changes his face quite a lot, just like the Alchemist one did. But this one looks like... This one just looks like part of the hero because it fits the rest of the design, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's nice. This is a good one.
Next, Primal Beast. There were about 3 or 4 sets.
Holy fuck.
I disliked all of them except for this one, which is basically Roche.
This is basically Gyarados.
I fucking
black and red.
Love this set. And this picture does not do it justice at all. But he looks like Roche, right? So he's got black texture with red highlights. If you go in game and look at this, it looks way better than this photo. Mm-hmm. But this is S tier for me.
This is great. I like this too.
Okay, very good. Next set is a Huskar set, which is Egyptian themed. His face is the wolf god. Is it Anubis? Is that right? Is that a different one? Or is it...
I do think this is Anubis, yeah.
He's got a shield and a like an Egyptian looking staff. It's got like a kind of a gold, dark green color scheme going. Yeah, I think this one's really cool. I love Egyptian stuff though. I'm always a sucker.
Yeah, I love it too. And I mean, it's well executed for what it is. I don't know about the orange on the shield, but whatever. That's not the biggest thing. I just don't know if this is what I want my Huskar to look like. But I mean, that's subjective, right?
You don't want your Huskar to look like an Egyptian god?
Does this fit the character that well? I don't know.
Gives a shit anymore.
It's okay, I said yay or nay. I'm kind of indifferent about this one.
Okay, neutral. Good. Yeah. Next, Death Prophet set. Holy shit. I feel like there's never any good Death Prophet sets. This one is S tier. She has like this, it's like one of those horror movies with the like the branches coming out of your head and they cover her face. And then her legs are actually, they don't exist. They're just roots of a tree. Looks really fucking good. And in addition, I know a lot of people voted for a different reason, Sindarin.
You're showing the front for a reason here.
I'm showing the back of the spirit now.
Oh, okay.
I didn't show the back of the hero. I can only fit so many photos in this. The exorcism spirit has a bare ass. So that's probably the main reason people will be voting for this set. But I voted for it because the set itself is legitimately like probably the best Death Prophet set that's been out.
It's really fucking good, actually. This is great. Probably if you think about the Dragon Knight emoji, that was, I don't know what level that was in the last battle pass.
Yeah.
But they put that one really high. So my prediction is this will be the ultra rare.
Okay, fair.
Because it is an ass, and therefore we will be working with it and making money with it again.
Yeah, I like that. All right, moving on. There's a couple Snapfire sets that I thought were extremely good. This one, the mount is a green lizard creature.
The mount is so cute.
It is. The set for Snapfire herself is... How would you describe it, Cinderin?
Jesus. So she has a big green crocodile. Wait, is
it a crocodile? It is a crocodile. Okay.
It's a friendly crocodile she has as her pet. And then she herself is wearing... She's wearing some, like... Do you know what I mean if I say this looks like kind of like Mad Max or something? Does that make sense?
Yeah, the outfit, sure.
It's basically that way. And then her... For some reason, the crocodile has a flagpole on the back with a tennis ball on it, which is really random. I don't know what that's doing there, but... This is probably a reference to a movie I haven't watched.
It's probably a reference to Florida because they have a lot of gators and golf.
Oh, I see. Okay. So it's the Florida set to go with this Chicago Bulls Minotaur.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. This is cute. I think there was another Snapfire one that was better. I forgot what the mount looked like. But this one's still, I think this one's still well executed. I would like to see it in game, though.
So I believe the next one is the other Snapfire set, which I liked more.
Okay, let's see.
So this one, I actually don't like the set for her at all, but the mount is a giant snail, and I think this is the best mount in the entire game for any set. This is so fucking good.
It also, I think the snail shooting globs is gonna look good and make sense, right? But yes. I kind of agree. I don't like her outfit very much. I feel like this is the kind of set where you would use the snail and then not really anything else for me personally. But I agree. But the snail's cool.
To be fair, it's really the main highlight of any Snapfire set will be the mount because it is four times the size of her.
Yeah.
I think this is one that they could make an immortal mount and then the globs are green or something. I guess that would confuse people, but that would make sense for a snail.
Yeah, then it's Rubik.
Yeah. That's right. All right, next, we got a Slark set that I really liked. It's Cthulhu themed, so his face is the old Cthulhu tentacles. He's got a crossbow on his back, which of course he will not use in battle. But I thought this was...
What are his weapons?
His hands, of course.
Actually? Or does he have...
I don't remember.
It's like a hook for his right hand, right?
Probably.
What's that?
Probably.
He has hooks as weapons.
Yeah, makes sense. It's a water theme, of course.
Kind of indifferent about this one.
Okay. This one, I think, is the best set in the whole collector's cache, and this picture will not do it justice. It's a tiny set. I'm going to show the back as well. How would you describe this? Because I have no fucking clue, but it is incredible.
Think about, like, really messy cable management meets Tron, and then it's vines.
His back is like a giant, like, planet, almost.
The core of Tiny is a sphere made out of, like, glass with electricity flowing around inside or something. It actually, you know what? Somebody said in chat, this is a really good way of explaining it. Imagine if Tiny and Arc Warden combined. That's kind of what this is.
Yeah, fair. So I think this is an extremely good set. Even though I don't really show it very well in the picture, the tree I do not like at all. But imagine this.
What is the tree?
I don't even know. I think it's like a giant ward or something. I could be wrong.
Okay.
Either way, imagine this set with the Christmas tree, Cinderin. That's fucking good.
Yeah, that doesn't fit at all.
That's fucking good.
Right. Yeah.
Very good tiny set. Is this a yay or nay? I cannot believe you're even on the fence about this one. Jesus. This is going to be the most upvoted set in the collector's cache.
Maybe.
Easily.
It's definitely not my favorite you show me today.
Well, keep in mind, it's just a picture, and I assume you haven't seen this in-game, because, again, in-game it looked great.
It might be amazing in-game. I'm going off the pictures, so.
Noob.
I mean, it's a yay, but I don't know if it's like a yay or a yay, you know?
Okay, that's fine, as long as it gets in the game. I mean, this is going to be like an ultra rare that we'll never see, so.
I still think DP will be the ultra rare.
Okay, well, we'll make a bet. This will be the ultra
rare. You
think
it's this one?
Yeah, 100%. No question.
I mean, you do know the workshop better than I do, so.
You know asses better than
I do. That is true.
I don't even know what that means, but I just wanted to say it.
James more than me.
All right, this one, I didn't even bother showing the Phoenix set.
This one is sick.
The Phoenix set, I thought was whatever. I don't remember what it looked like anymore. But the Supernova is a baby Phoenix inside a transparent egg. Fucking awesome.
This is the single best item you've shown today. This one.
It's just the ult, though.
Yeah.
So you see it for about 3 seconds a game.
Amazing. This is super cool.
I actually didn't try it in game. I wonder what it looks like as it's about to explode. Like, if it has any indication. But yeah, this one, really cool. Also don't know if the little Phoenix inside animates at all, but...
Someone in chat saying it has a timer ticking down. Imagine if there was like an egg timer that started. Like an actual egg timer when you use Supernova. Do you think people would like that?
No, people don't even know what egg timers are anymore these days.
Yeah, that's actually true. I'm like, I have an app for that. Okay, buddy.
That's right. Next is...
I guess that's Clockwork.
This is a Clockwork set. I can't believe you haven't seen this one. Your favorite hero.
I actually have seen this one.
This is... I guess it's... it. Okay, tell me if this makes sense as a description. It's a pirate... but somehow it looks like a Lego unit.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense.
Lego pirate.
It's all the sharp edges that makes it look like Lego, right? It's
because he's got a black goatee. He's got the parrot on his shoulder.
The eye as well, I guess.
Yeah, he's got the patch. Looks like Lego. I love this set.
Okay, so for audio listeners, imagine Kunkka wanted to dress up and put on some nicer colors, but then he took the clothes and put them on his son. That is what this set looks like. And then instead of his cutlass, he has a red anchor as his hookshot. Not really. I mean, it's well executed. It's just not what I would wear on clock. I just think the dinosaur clock, for example, is way cooler and fits the hero better. I don't look at this and I'm like, this is a mechanical robot. Like,
I wish I could go back in time and just take that clip of what you said back to yourself from like 5 years ago. You said, I think the Velociraptor clockwork set is makes more sense on the hero than the pirate. Just those words.
Yeah,
would blow your fucking mind. Right?
That's where we're at now. So yeah, you got to look at the context of what's happening.
The dinosaur.
But the
set.
Thing. Okay, so the thing about the Velociraptor one, just to specify it, right? It's mechanical. He's a clockwork.
Yeah.
He's a mechanical hero. This does not look mechanical to me.
It looks like a
does
Lego.
It look mechanical to you?
I mean, Legos are mechanical to me.
I mean, it's really well done for what it is. I just, for me, it doesn't really fit, and it's not my cup of tea on clock. But I could definitely see this getting in, though.
Yeah.
So indifferent, I guess.
Chen, we have a. I mean, this is
holy shit.
Very Hades
There's
inspired.
A lot going on here.
So his mount is Cerberus, right?
Yeah.
Got the two headed. Wait, is Cerberus three headed? Actually.
I think that depends on.
Okay.
He's always three-headed, isn't he?
It's a know, this is a two-headed dog. Probably didn't have enough polygons for the third head. And then the set for Chen.
Chen is the third head.
Chen, what's the character in Hades, the shopkeeper guy? What's his name? That's what it reminds me of.
The shopkeeper?
Yeah, it's kind of like the Grim Reaper kind of guy in Hades. Where you're buying all your shop stuff from.
Oh. Charon,
that's who this reminds me of, and I think it's unbelievably well done. He has a scythe, which doesn't make sense on Chen at all, but looks awesome. This looks like a better necro weapon than we have in the game right now.
Yeah, this would be the scythe would be awesome on necro, I think. But yeah, I mean, Chen usually what does default Chen have? He just has a staff, right, of some kind that he's shooting with. Is it?
Probably, yeah.
I think he has some sort of a scepter, I believe, right? Yes. It's a staff. It's called Chen's staff.
Okay. Now it's a scythe.
Yeah, I don't know if it really makes that much sense as a weapon on him, but like you said, it kind of looks good. It's okay, I guess. The rest of it is really busy. I think it's just a lot, and I would guess a lot of this gets lost in-game because a lot of these details are so small. Like the leather belt or whatever you want to call that is coming. You see that chain on his right hand side. There's like this leather strap that attaches to the front of the mount. I feel like this kind of detail that is on that, which is beautiful, is not going to show in game. It's just like when you make these things this tiny. Also, the images on the foreheads of the mount probably won't really translate into the game, but. And that's, we haven't really talked about this before, right? But if you were to make a set for Dota and you want to get it in, people vote based on the preview more than they vote based on how the hero looks like in the game. I would imagine most people browse through it. They're like, this looks cool, thumbs up. This doesn't look cool, thumbs down. Rather than, let me go into the game, demo mode it, try it, and see if I like what it looks like. You would agree with that, right? Most people vote based on the preview.
Obviously.
So with that in mind, this might actually be a good strategy to get sets in the game, is that you make stuff that like this that looks really appealing at first glance, and then you know that it's going to partially or fully get lost in the game, but you got voted in. So as a strategy for getting in, and that's good. I just, again, I think some of the cool things here will not really be visible, but it's good. Not blown away, though, personally.
Okay, but all right.
The mount is sick.
Oh, that's
the mount
it.
Is like... The mount is S tier. That is not S tier. The Alchemist is not. That is.
I love the Alchemist.
Was that the literal only flat out no I gave? I think it was.
Maybe.
So that makes it pretty good. I usually
pretty good.
Dislike quite a lot of things.
The vote's already done, so you guys can't vote anymore. Yeah, it is what it is. Okay. Down to our SAP segment, Sindarin.
Yes.
We have a couple questions for each other. Okay. We're going to continue with the TI theme, of course. Who has killed the most wards since TI5? Is it Y, X Nova, Puppy, or Fly?
Okay, so this has to be a red herring, or you. Dude, so your question last week was obviously Puppy because he had way more game time.
Yeah.
The problem with Puppy is, historically speaking, you don't deward when you're farming the jungle. And he does that a lot. So in his teams, it might have a lot of the time been the other guy. But I feel like he would have also done it. It's him or... So X Nova or Y, right?
Mm-hmm.
Y played which TIs? The last one, TI6, TI9, and TI10?
I will say these are the top four. I'm not putting any weird stuff. These are top right. four in some
I'm
order.
I'm trying to think of, because Puppy played all of them. Y would have played out of the last ones, but he also got further than Puppy in some of them. I think Fly was had some deep runs, some not so. Oh, dude, this is hard. I'm gonna go with my gut and say why.
That was last, actually, last place.
Yeah. There you go. That's my gut right
Y had 618 D wards since TI5. X Nova 701. Puppy 725. And the correct answer was Fly with 866.
Holy shit.
Not even remotely close. By far, number one.
You know what? Fly probably placed a lot of wards in the enemy base when they had already won, and then he started denying them.
Yeah, that sounds like Fly.
I think Fly is really toxic. He would do that.
Yeah. All right.
That was very bad. Okay, my question for you, on topic of EG no longer being an NA team.
Mm.
As an org, they have played 64 matches on the TI main stage, but how many games did they win?
Okay.
30, 34, 38, or 42 out of 64?
It's either 38 or 42. I mean, this is just a random ass guess, I guess, but 42, is that a lot? I'll say 38.
That is incorrect. Would you like a second guess?
42.
That is incorrect. Would you like a third guess?
Second choice, whatever the fuck it was.
That is incorrect. Would you like a fourth guess?
The first one.
Yeah, that is correct.
I was That's a shitty question. That
they have
it doesn't mean anything to me how many games. There's no basis for this shit.
How does that not mean anything? They have a less than 50% win rate on TI main stage, even though they've won a TI.
I guess that's true.
Isn't that kind of telling about the rest of the years then?
Well, they've gotten third.
I'm kind of surprised.
Like, they've gotten third twice.
Yeah, so that means aside from those 2 years, they must have... So they bombed out this year with zero, right? That was four games. Or two matches, right? How did their other years go? Because I was really surprised when I look at this. Like, when I give you these answers, I really doubt you're going to take the 30, right? But like... I'm just trying to think of EG's history, and you obviously remember the highlights, right? Of how they won a TI.
They went 0-4 this year, that's for sure.
Right, but like, how do they have less than 50% win rate at TI main stage?
Yeah.
They have 47% win rate on the main stage in matches.
That is very, very weird.
That's surprising to me, because at TI5, they did lose, right? Because they won from the lower. So they do have a loss there. But obviously a lot of wins.
All right. Last week's question. Wait,
how's this even possible, actually?
You can do the math later.
It's got to be individual games rather than matches, right?
Well, yeah. That's what I assumed it was, but still.
Yeah. Anyway.
Last week's question. What the least amount of game time a team needed to win a TI? You were correct. It was Na'Vi for TI1. Total... playtime was 6 hours, 36 minutes, and 56 seconds. That included 10 matches only.
Yeah.
And that's the old TI1.
What was my guess?
You guessed 12 hours, so you almost doubled it. You doubled it.
Jesus.
So it was not remotely close, but you did get the correct answer technically. If you want to exclude TI1, the fastest TI for a winner was Wings in 2016. 14 hours, 32 minutes. Shout out.
TI1 was more than twice as fast.
Yeah, shout out to
the format. The record will never be beaten.
Kazarin, who guessed 397 minutes for Na'Vi, which was basically exactly correct. So he must have looked it up. Well done.
Sounds like a good guess. I don't
know. Well, the correct answer was 394 minutes and 56 seconds. He guessed 397. Okay. So it's not exactly.
It's like make your homework and then make it look a little bit different than mine, you know?
Very good. Yeah. Very well done.
I mean, it might be. It might genuinely have been a guess. It's not out of the question.
Yeah.
It's far enough from the truth that it's kind of believable.
We'll never know. Next week's question for everybody comes from the same person as last week, which is Lord Vradach. What team is reigning champion of the TI Airport Run? So the opposite question. Who played the least amount of games? Is it Wild Card Gaming? Or not Wild Card.
Time, right?
What was your team name again?
we got out of Wild Card, so we can't be the shortest.
Oh, okay.
I mean, this question needs a little bit of a preface, right? Does Wild Card count as TI, or are we talking you get to main event? Or you get to playoffs? Or sorry, you get to groups, rather. You get to the main TI.
I think you have to go to the main TI, yeah.
Right, so it's not wild card. So we're taking that out.
So basically, for the community, what is the shortest amount of game time a team needed to drop out of TI? If you want to do the team name as a bonus, that's fine. But in the comments, type in hashtag SAP Esports, then the time, so how many minutes or hours, whatever, and then the team name if you want. Do you have a guess?
I do. My guess is TI1. Virus.
Are we not excluding TI1?
Oh, is that excluded for this?
Let's say we're excluding TI1.
Okay, but I still want my TI1 guess, and then I want it to be checked. So my TI1 guess is Virus. That was the team with Sokshka and Seb, I think, and a couple others. I believe they lost in groups and got knocked out, like some other teams. I feel like their games were pretty one-sided. They were just not on the same level. They didn't have the experience yet at that time. So that would be my guess for that. For non-TI1...
I have a guess.
MRFC got crushed at TI3.
Yeah.
Really bad.
That's definitely
up 0-14
there. Yep.
In groups. We have not had a shorter group stage, right? Did TI2 have a shorter group stage?
I don't know.
I think that was still two groups of eight playing best of twos.
So keep in mind, game time also matters. It's not just games, right?
Right, yeah. But I think MUFC, a lot of their games are also stomps.
Okay.
So I do think probably MUFC TI3.
Okay.
And they played 14 games. Let's give those games an average game time of 30 minutes. So I'll say 7 hours, MUFC
TI3. Okay, I'm going to go Alliance at TI4. I think they won one game in the groups, if I'm not mistaken. And I don't think they made main stage at all.
Which year?
TI4.
Did they get run over that hard?
Was it TI4 or TI5? I feel like it was... What was the year that they had... That was the last year they had the round robin group stage where everybody played each other. They were like 1-13 or something.
Okay. I don't remember which
I'm going to go with that. And I'll say it was, I'll just go with your answer, 7 hours. Sure.
All right. I want to quickly correct myself. I just looked up Virus's roster. That was not with Seb. He played with them after, I believe, but it was with Sokshka. And people will probably not remember the other names of that team. All right.
Okay.
7 hours.
Yeah. Excellent. So if your ideas are transformative, use them to transform SAP's customer businesses. Check out SAP's various open positions in sales, development, and technology and consulting at jobs.sap.com or clicking the link in the description below. Again, thank you to SAP.
Keep in mind when you do send them your application or your portfolio of what you've done, make sure that if you've made a really good guess in the SAP quiz where you've been super close, make sure to include that. I guessed 297 minutes.
That's right. That's extra bonus points.
There you go.
No need for an interview. Right, you're hired. Yeah. Sounds good to me.
You sound like you know how to look at stats and tweak them slightly so you're not cheap.
Yeah. So we missed our last week's episode went way long, so I didn't get to talk about Ability Arena, so I will do that now. Season 2 and 2.5 have been released. So I'll just talk about quickly some of the changes that we made. I'll try to make it brief. I don't know if people want to hear this shit anymore, but we put in, based on feedback, people did not feel very good opening chests to get new gods because it would basically make it so if you didn't like a god, let's say, it wouldn't change like your pick screen at all. You'd still only have X amount of picks. So you wouldn't be able to pick some of the favorite gods that you had. So we took that feedback and we created a new god pick screen, which essentially scales based on how many gods you have. So I think it'll do like 1/3 of your gods, and then you can reshuffle once, but you can still get the duplicates. So it ends up being like roughly 50% chance to get the god that you want. So that's a big change that we made that I think people liked. We added 20 plus spells, which I won't really go into what they were, but spiced things up a lot. We made ranking up for lower end people, like the heralds, easier. And every season when we reset ranks, it's going to be a soft reset. So you only lose like 2 ranks. So if you're an immortal, you don't have to grind that hard. Speaking of immortals, we now have immortal matchmaking. We've probably talked about this. People complain about the matchmaking all the time, Sindarin. Mm-hmm. Not realizing, like, I'm a guardian. Why am I going up against immortals all the time? Mm-hmm. We have literally zero control over the matchmaking system in custom games. That's just how it is.
Yep.
The matchmaking that we created is similar to IXDL. No, not IXDL. That's, what's the one for fucking,
that's the one for Dota
auto chess.
Was there,
what's the one for auto chess? QIHL.
Yeah.
So essentially, if you go to abilityarena.com and you're immortal, you can go to the matchmaking system, and there's a little thing in the browser that lets you set up games with immortal players. That way your rank won't get destroyed if you get like second place against a herald or whatever,
right?
So that is there. We added some new gods. There's Rubik, who gives you spell steal. So you can have 5 spells on a hero. You can have 2 ults on the same hero. A bit of an RNG god, but I think it's really interesting with the way that people play it, because you can do it as like a spellcaster with like infinite mana, or you can do, my favorite is like a tanky frontline, because sometimes you you steal mobility spells and it fucks you over. But if you're playing the tanky guy that does damage, then it doesn't feel as bad. So that one's pretty cool. Rune God is
RNG.
Yes, you think Rune God's RNG? All right. I mean, it, Rune God is part of the Battle Pass. It provides you with 1 of 2 runes at each shop level, and the runes are tiered based on strength. So, like early on, if you get an invis, we reworked them a bit. So, like invis, you. It is actually not that bad, because you start out, you can't get targeted because you're invisible. Mm-hmm. And then attacking out of it will break the invis and give you like a 50 damage buff or whatever. And then things like regen don't activate until you've cast something, or water rune won't activate until you take damage. And then obviously the big ones are arcane and double damage for the like the level 5 shop. So you get 1 of 2 mm-hmm. each round for 1 of the units that you select. I find them to be a lot of fun. I think it's versatile in the way that you play, because if you're going for like that level 5 shop, it's either a double damage or arcane rune. And if you're going just purely right click, that's not a good idea. You need like some sort of a mix to take advantage of when the arcane hits instead of the double damage. Yep. So there's that. A few days ago, we came out with 2.5, which we got rid of Nether Toxin for now. So that's a huge change to the game, just that one thing alone. Mm-hmm. We've added a lot of like breaks, so I don't think it's going to be an issue. Added Tower God. Tower God is... it's me and Jenkins were talking at... Sometimes we just have this back and forth, where we start thinking of the most fucking ridiculous idea. And this one ended up being fun. Sometimes the ideas end up being absolute dog shit. But this one, we tried it out and we're like, okay, this is actually fun. You turn your hero into a tower, which means they cannot move. And they gain, or they get a set 750 attack range. So you want it on melee heroes, generally. Because it still counts as a melee, but you're getting 750 range. And then each time an ally dies, it fortifies everybody with a buff that means they can't take any damage for like a second and a half. But if the tower dies, you lose the buff. So the idea, in essence, is about protecting the tower. So you can have like a support tower that just stays alive. I like to do the right clicker tower that has a bunch of buffs applied to them. This, and it's voiced by Pyrian Flax, of course. The lore, which is very important, is the... Slax came up with the lore. The So tower, there's a tower in Dota that Ice Frog tried to rebalance, right? He tried to move him, but the tower just refused to move. Just very stubborn tower. And in his dimension, he had 100% win rate because he just did whatever the fuck he wanted. And that is the god that's in the game. So his voice lines are very like, he's got like a New York accent. It's like, I'm standing here. Just all this like very angry old man.
Tyrion Flex doing New York accent.
Yeah, he grew up in New York. He actually was born there.
Oh,
you didn't know
that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Also, things that we missed, because I'm just trying to TLDR this, the streamer tournament. We did that a couple weeks ago at this point. Too Good won. He crushed, actually. It wasn't even close.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think you were there. Were you?
I was not.
Just checking.
Not for that one.
Couldn't remember.
Yeah. You did invite me, though, so that was nice.
I did invite. I always will. Unless there's better people to get.
Yeah.
So he won. Congrats to him. He gave his money to Ukraine. Fund.
Oh, very good.
Very respectable. And then the last thing is the community tournament, which will be every month. This one will be on the 19th and 20th. It's already full, but if I think the wait list is still available to sign up for.
How big is the pool?
It is, I want to, is it 256 or is it 512? I will check. One moment.
What's the format on that? You play best of ones until how late? Like it's top four advance, right?
It's actually, there's no more best of ones because that felt bad. That's why it's 2 days now.
Okay. And then how does it work? Who advances? How many points do you need? How many advance from each match?
Basically? That's a great question that I don't know the answer to, Sinner, because I'm not running it. It's Community Gaming that is running it.
Right. I will
ask them all your questions
and tell them to tell you. To know how your tournament works.
It is 256 participants. And right now the wait list has 65 people. So a bunch of people might not show up. If you want to go sign up the last minute, it's definitely possible. We won't be streaming until the second day. So we'll be casting on the 20th, Jenkins and
I. I was just about to ask you how many players are left, but you wouldn't know. All right.
Let's move on. Thank you. Next topic, Counter-Strike Major.
Oh, we're talking about another game.
Someone, we are.
A patron would enjoy this.
Yes, he would.
I'm sure.
Did you watch the CSGO Major at all?
I did.
Okay, what were you? Okay, let me just sum it up. So, when I started watching it, first of all, I hate to say it, Cinderant. I actually feel bad saying it. CSGO might be the most entertaining esport to watch. It's very good. Like, very good.
It is very good.
Like, just from gameplay, like, it's just easier to just chill out and watch than Dota, sadly. But that's just the inherent nature of the game.
It demands way less of your attention, and there's natural breaks. Watching Dota is an investment, which some people really like, but it's harder to watch a Dota game while you're doing other things, or at least if you want to enjoy it to the fullest, then it's like watching a movie. You have to kind of follow it the whole time. With CS, there's breaks all the time and stuff.
That's right. And I just realized I linked the wrong tournament in the Counter-Strike. Wrong Counter-Strike tournament here, Cinderin. I apologize.
No, you didn't.
Did I not?
No. That's the major.
Okay, I picked on the wrong champion stage. Okay. This was in Rio, and I have never heard such a hype crowd in my entire life. So American sports, they can get pretty hype, right? Like NFL specifically is probably the most hype people will get. But, and again, I don't watch soccer, but I've seen soccer fans be super hype. This was on that level, if not more, to the point where the crowd was like singing some chant for, I think it was in the pre-qualifier stage, right before the main stage, for literally the entire game, which is like 45 minutes. That's unreal. They were so loud. They were supporting mostly their team, which was Furia Esports. They had a really hype-ass match against Na'Vi. They went 2-1. Na'Vi was one of the favorites. Simple, considered the best player of all time, although he just hasn't done very well at... I actually found it interesting. Only major he's won was the one where there was no crowd. So I don't know if that's enough evidence to show that maybe he struggles a bit with the crowd. But either way, they lost to Furia. But then Furia loses to Heroic, which is a Danish team. And at that point, the crowd kind of went silent for the rest of the tournament. A lot of them didn't show up for the finals, so there was a lot of flack for that. But Outsiders ended up facing off against Heroic, which, like I said, so Outsiders, like a VP, so Russians versus Heroic. Actually, I think there's Belarus guy on the team as well. And then Heroic, they got stomped, and I'm sorry to tell you. The Danish team got completely ass stomped in the grand finals, which was only a best of three, which I find odd as well.
That's standard for CS.
I know, but why? The entire day is dedicated to the grand final. Yeah. It's not like there's a series before it.
I'm not exactly sure why, because I know some CS tournaments have tried BO5s. I just think it hasn't really caught on, and I can't tell you why that's the case. I guess in CS, you run more of a risk compared to Dota, where if the teams are very evenly matched, a BO5 in CS can be an absolute marathon between the amount of time it takes with the rounds, if you use all the timeouts, breaks between games, overtimes, you know. Maybe it's a logistical thing in part, where a best of five in Dota usually doesn't have 5 one-hour games, right? Mm-hmm. It can, but I don't think it's ever happened. In CS, a lot of the five-game series go like, let's say, 16, 12, something like that. That takes like an hour per map. And then you have the breaks and the timeouts on top of all of it. So that makes it a really, really long ordeal. That's my guess that it's that. Because from a competitive perspective, show us more games, show us more map pool. You know, it's fun to see the teams. That's probably one of the biggest weaknesses of CS as an esport, which it doesn't have many. I think they play the same maps a lot because of the way the draft works, right? I feel like so many games end up being on Inferno because everything else.
Inferno's great. I'm not complaining.
It is a great map. I'm not saying it's not, but you know, more variety from a spectator point of view is probably more interesting, right? But yeah, if you have to play one map, Inferno is one of the best ones, right? And that's also why the teams do it a lot, because they train on it and they like it a lot. But yeah, this whole tournament, Outsiders were just clearly the best. Heroic, obviously. I would say a pretty big surprise that they got second, but they caught momentum from the previous stage, right? They came in from the Challenger stage. Is that what the previous one is called?
I don't remember.
No, the Legends stage. They came in from Legends, I think. I don't think they started all the way in Challenger.
Were you rooting for them, Sindarin? You feel some Danish pride?
Not in
what
particular.
What is wrong with you? What? Like, are you human? How?
I didn't watch the finals.
I just asked you if you were watching this tournament.
Yeah, I did. That's what I said. I watched multiple games from the tournament, but I didn't catch the finals.
You didn't catch the finals from your home team. That's weird.
Yeah, I guess I'm just weird.
You know, it's weird because I know you're not doing anything. You're probably playing fucking WoW. Like, you're not doing anything.
I probably wasn't aware when the finals were happening.
What do you do all day?
Other things than watch
you don't
CSGO.
Do you don't do anything, all right? I know. I can just picture you just staring at the wall. Might as well just watch your Danish home team.
I don't know. I don't get like massively invested in the team because they're Danish. I will get invested in a team if I like the players. And I think, okay, so the thing about this tournament, I guess the player that I... You know what? I would be cheering for Heroic overall because I love Cadian's story arc, because I find it very admirable. It's kind of like, you know, Seb with Dota, where people are like, yeah, you've kind of run your course. You were never really great. He had like, I think Seb had a year where his performance is just starting getting weaker, and then he stopped and started doing talent work. And then he was like, fuck this, I'm better than this. And he put on the sickest training montage, went number one on the ladder, and then he got into OG and started winning shit, right? Cadian was people were mocking him for being bad in the server and that he only had a job because he was a captain, and they thought he was lackluster at that. Like, a lot of community, just a lot of negative feedback for him all over. And he just tanked through it, got really good, found his new boys, and now.
Well, I think a lot of the negative feedback,
That's amazing.
I think a lot of the negative feedback, if I'm not mistaken, was because of the replay bug scandal.
I think it was before that even. Like this was just on like a personal performance perspective is what I've gathered and read and heard over the last few years, that Kadian was just, you know, he was kind of a big name back in SK and then almost faded into obscurity, but really picked it back up. The whole controversy with the...
Controversy.
Yeah, we've had this conversation before. You can say both. with the replay bug, I think, yeah, I believe he was part of that heroic team as well.
Controversy.
What's wrong with you?
Anyway, Counter-Strike, yeah, very enjoyable to watch. Not so much to play because they still don't have 128 tick servers. Go ahead.
And can I just say, yes. So at TI, we had a couple of amazing pieces of content for the final 2 days between games. You know, this like high production value where they had like Gabe as part of reveals and stuff, which was really fun. Aside from that Dota's content, this TI was not particularly impressive. I think CSGO does a very good job filling downtime.
Yep, I agree.
For their majors, for their third-party tournaments. That's just, I don't know if it's a different kind of budget they're working with or a different kind of culture or some people that are really pulling it, whatever it is. Dota should watch the CSGO major and get inspired about what they can do, because it really makes for a much more interesting viewer experience. And the biggest plus is how you retain viewers, because the downtime isn't actually downtime. It's fun. They will have like games with the players. They'll have some sort of quizzes. They'll have content pieces where the players are acting. You know, whatever it is, it's kind of like one of the things that people really celebrated about the summit, right? Which is when there weren't games on, you had the players on camera, or you had like these funny skits. That's what CSGO does so well. So Dota should learn from this as much as it can.
Agreed. So yeah, Counter-Strike, very fun to watch. I hope in the next 20 years they will add 128 tick servers, like I said. The fact that you have to pay for a third-party service to be able to properly play the game is fucking stupid as fuck.
What's the reason? Is it just...
The reason is because, that they said it publicly, it only affects a small segment of users, which, let's say it's 20%, the minority. Mm-hmm. That 20% is the most hardcore of your audience.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. I hate the idea of like looking at stats.
But super devil's advocate or businessman goggles here.
There we go.
Here.
Yeah.
Why should Valve invest into 128 tick servers for the hardcore players when they go and get their fix on a separate site anyway that was made for Valve?
I'm one of those users and I'm not doing that.
Okay. I mean, I agree 100%. They should fucking do it.
Also,
but this is probably Valve's perspective, right? It's like these hardcore fans that really want it, the service is there. They get it outsourced effectively. It's, if you want to play on that, go pay for it.
I'm sure that there's plenty of, sure there's plenty of reasons for them not to do it, all of which fuck me personally. lastly, please add Season and Tusken as maps.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. That would be great.
Which one is it? That's
Tusken is one of the maps you can.
That's Mill, right?
Tusken, yeah.
Yeah, that should be part of the pro rotation.
Yes, Season as well. Don't forget Season. Best map ever made.
I don't know that map.
Yeah, just so. Trust me. Trust me.
Okay. Yeah. You have so far you've had great taste and takes with your fucking Chicago Bulls Minotaur Elk, so I trust you on the map.
Well, you're it's comparing cosmetics good. With competitive fucking maps in Counter-Strike that I play competitively.
Your take on what is quality. Your
one
hidden,
is cosmetic,
you're
though.
You're a bit hit or miss. Yeah, you probably like Season because of the way it looks, right? It's literally called Season. It's probably
actually
the way it tastes.
Season, the reason it didn't get in my opinion, in CSGO, is because of the way it looked.
Oh.
Because it had like a very different look than the original, a very different look than any other Counter-Strike map. But the play, and people that played CS Source will know this, that is the most balanced map ever created in Counter-Strike. Gives you so many different options. What? No, Mill was not
the most balanced.
No, Mill was super CT sided. Plus, Tusken remade half of the map that wasn't used, right? That's why Tusken's better than Mill, I think. Anyway, that's getting in the old Counter-Strike brain. All right. That'll do it for this episode. We have a couple other topics that we'll get to another time. Of course, can't wait to talk about Elon Musk. I've done zero research.
We delayed Musk another week.
Yeah. Hopefully he'll sell Twitter and we won't have to talk about it again. That'd be great. All right. Until next time, Suns Fan Center signing out. Goodbye, everybody. Peace.
Bye.
We say things that don't mean anything, but thanks for listening.